So I'm sitting here with Michelle of Align Rehabilitation, and she is really growing and has something coming up on May 3rd.
On May 3rd, Align Rehabilitation will be having our grand opening of our brand new physical therapy facility. We are directly next door to Real Life Prosthetics, who has also expanded their lab as they build out their prostheses. So May 3rd is grand opening. I invite everyone to come tour both my brand new facility for physical therapy treatment, as well as see what Real Life Prosthetics has done with their new lab.
And what time is it?
It's 11 to 2, and then the ribbon cutting is at 11:15.
And so what's the address?
The address is 3435 Box Hill Corporate Center Drive, Suite C, Abingdon, Maryland, 21009.
And so far, 174.1 million doses of the flu vaccine has been distributed. 174.1. Just think of that for a minute, okay? Now, right here in Maryland, we are in the area which is actually a lot of very high activity for influenza. And as you know, with influenza, the flu, there are two types. But a lot of people don't know how to tell the difference. So on this episode of Harford County Living, we are joined by members of the Harford County Health Department. And we're talking about whether you can tell if it's the flu or a cold. And we talked briefly also about the new coronavirus. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Harford County Living with Rich Bennett. Each week, you'll hear roundtable discussions and interviews with people that have ties to Harford County, Maryland, and you'll learn something new that will leave you wanting more. Here is your host, professional DJ, entrepreneur, podcaster, and all-around nice guy, Rich Bennett.
All right, I want to thank Laurie Decker. She actually contacted me and asked if we could do a podcast with the health department on how to tell the difference between a virus and the flu, which I have to admit, I love it because I got my flu shot because I was told to do it before I played Santa, and we all got sick, my wife, my daughter, and me. My daughter had the cold, I had a cold, my wife had the flu. She didn't get the flu shot, so I felt good. Made my day.
So basically what you're saying then is you and your daughter got the flu as well, but it felt like a cold? Is that what you're saying?
No, the doctor said I had a cold.
Even he said my you fever had a cold. Was, yeah. So your flu test was worked. Negative?
Yeah. And my daughter and my wife didn't get the flu shot.
Was this all at the same time?
My daughter was like right after New Year's, and then we were a couple days afterwards. So we took my daughter there first, and me and my wife went to the doctor at the same time. Uh-huh. She goes, yeah, let's go in the same room so I can prove to you that the flu shot doesn't work. So we did, and then what the doctor said, because they did the swab and everything, uh-huh. He said that I had a bad cold and she had the flu. I just loved it.
Interesting.
I loved it. She thought I had dipsy-doodle-itis, or was she called, man flu.
Man.
Yeah, because, if a guy gets a sniffles right away, you women just call it the man flu. So how can you tell the difference between a virus and the flu?
There's a difference in a lot of the different symptoms, signs and symptoms. Basically, influenza has an abrupt onset. You usually have a fever with it, usually have aches. And then the fatigue, the weakness, headaches are common, chest discomfort, cough mm-hmm. is common. With a cold, you're going to see gradual onset of symptoms. The fever is rare. You may see some slight aches and pains, but not anything like what most people have when they have the flu. The chills are uncommon. Sometimes you may see some fatigue or weakness. Cold is going to be more sniffing, sneezing, sore throat, right. Stuffy nose. You could still have the cough and the chest discomfort. A headache would be rare. So those are the differences, is the signs and symptoms, and that first one being important and how it starts, whether it's abrupt or whether it's kind of a gradual onset of symptoms.
And there's, I guess, all different types of viruses out there which mimic a lot of times
sure.
the flu, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's rhinoviruses, endoviruses, coronaviruses, all kinds of different viruses that cause common colds.
Oh, did you say, what was the first one you said? A rhinovirus?
Yeah, that's...
All right, now I do sound like an idiot, but what is that? Because, of course, I'm thinking of the animal.
I think rhino comes from probably the Latin word for nose and nasal, so it's just a cold in your nose, I guess.
Okay, is that where, I guess, what a lot of people get bronchitis or the upper respiratory infection
Are upper respiratories are all, yeah, they're all upper respiratory infections.
Okay.
And then, you know, they can, if you get a severe case, you can get complications, which then can become lower respiratory, pneumonia, that sort of thing.
And when does technically flu season end?
It ends when we don't see any more flu. I think, to me, it seems like it's getting longer. I don't have any data to back this one up, but it sure seems like it's longer than it used to be. I think it was close to May, wasn't it, Gene, last year? Seemed like it was... Yeah, getting close to the, really to May, end of May even. May have still seen some sporadic cases. I know that our vaccine expires in June every year.
Oh, it does?
So then they start the new following season for our flu vaccine.
So when is the best time to actually get the vaccine?
The sooner the better, early, because you don't know, we never can really predict when flu is starting. So if you're going to get it in August, get it in August. They say at least by October, I think, is the recommendation. You know, they try to predetermine what the flu is going to look like this year and try to match it as best they can when they make the flu vaccine.
And
usually it's quadrivalent, which means it's four different organisms, different flu types that it hits.
And it is a good idea to get the flu vaccine, right?
It is the best idea.
It is
idea.
Not going to give
you the
very
flu, best
correctly?
Way.
Correct.
It is the very best way that you can prevent flu infection, yes. And no, it is not a live virus, so it cannot give you the flu, the vaccine. Now, the flu mist is a live virus, but as far as I know, it is not. You can't get the flu vaccine, the flu influenza from getting the vaccine or from the vaccine.
Did you say the flu mist?
Yeah, they don't really use that very often anymore. We see it on occasion.
So you can do that instead of the
shot?
Yeah,
it's a nasal.
No, I'll stick with the shot.
Yeah. We recommend that. I don't even order here. I don't even order flu mist unless somebody really wants it and won't take a needle.
I mean, I've always gotten into arguments with people about that all the time. It's like, no, because if I get the flu shot, I always get sick. Then I'll get the flu. No. Tell me, chances are, if you do get the flu after you get a flu shot, you probably already had the virus in you, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, you were probably already incubating it. It had already been exposed, and then you get the shot, and then you get sick and while you're incubating. And the flu can be transmitted before you have symptoms. So it's possible 24, maybe even 48 hours prior to actual onset of symptoms that you're walking around spreading it and don't know you're doing that. So if you're in contact with somebody who then gets sick the next day, they may have given it to you before you even know it. And so you may not know that you've been in contact with somebody that's positive for flu.
August or September is probably the best time, or October at the latest.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to see Santa or something like that. Now, are there any early symptoms?
As I said, it's an abrupt onset.
I know with me, like if I feel my throat, like a tickle in my throat, I know I got a cold coming on or something. And I'll start taking stuff to try to battle it right away, which most of the times it helps. Other people seem to wait now. And I know a lot of people say, well, I'm not going to take anything, let it run its course. Mm-hmm. Is that actually a good thing to do?
For a cold, yes, that's probably just as well. I mean, all you're doing when you're taking medicine for a cold is you're treating your symptoms with over-the-counter medication. You really shouldn't be taking antibiotics. That's not useful.
Right.
Unless your doctor prescribes it for a specific reason to keep you from, getting any secondary infections of any type.
Now, do we know anything about this new coronavirus?
We know some.
Anything you can share besides that it's scary? Or is that a tactic that everybody that they're using to scare everybody?
No, I don't think they're trying to scare people. Okay. I think they're just trying to raise an awareness.
Right.
What all of these types of viruses, respiratory viruses, do share is your prevention is going to be the same. So, number one, get vaccinated for flu because you don't want a double whammy.
Right.
Wash your hands as often as you can, and you do have to, when you're washing your hands, you need to take a little time washing your hands.
Right.
They say singing happy birthday two full times at the regular tempo, not speeding it up. And covering your cough, using a tissue and making sure that tissue makes it into the trash can, staying home when you're sick, staying away from sick people. Now, those are your cleaning, your environmental cleaning.
Making sure a lot of Lysol.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't touch your face.
That's a good one.
Yeah. That's the hardest thing.
Yes. Keep your hands away from your face.
God, that would be
That's
hard.
A great one.
That's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah. I mean.
I touch my face a lot by accident.
What if you're somebody like me that has to shave, though?
Well, wash your hands first.
Obviously, but...
I mean, it's mainly like when you're out in public and that sort of thing. And you're touching, all do it. And doorknobs and that sort of thing, frequently touched areas, especially out in public.
See, that's the other scary thing, because how many places do you go into, especially like your rest stops, the public restrooms, how often are those doorknobs or anything even cleaned?
Use your jacket.
Yeah.
That's what I do. Yeah, pull a sleeve or I grab a paper towel, anything.
One of the things, I see this in restrooms too. A lot of them don't have paper towels anymore.
Right.
The air dryers, which I think is worse because it seems like it's just blowing this stuff everywhere.
There have been articles written along those lines. I don't know for sure, but yeah.
We got to start a revolution or something. Paper towels back.
Well, then you got the environmental people saying don't use the paper.
Air dry. With your hands, just shake them.
All right, what are you doing when you shake your hands? You're
clean.
Just throwing the stuff everywhere.
Yeah. They should be clean.
They should be clean at that point.
Well,
unless you don't sing happy birthday. Or
there you go.
Yeah, you did it.
Yeah.
And you get, now, the health department does give flu shots, right?
Typically, we don't do like big flu clinics anymore. Yeah, the big community clinics was the word I was trying to come up with. We do clinics in our schools. This past year, we went into every single public school in Harford County and provided flu vaccine for the children and for the staff there. We do have a minimal amount of flu vaccine available here. It just depends on insurance and that sort of thing. But it's readily available in the community now.
Yeah, I was going to say the stores.
You can get it at your pharmacy. You can get it at your doctor's office. There's plenty of places where it is readily available.
How was it this year? I mean, the flu, did it seem like... I didn't see a lot of cases like the year before.
Maryland right now is considered in the very widespread range.
Really?
Yep. There's a lot of flu. So far in this country, the CDC estimates 29 million flu illnesses this year so far, 280,000 hospitalizations, and 16,000 deaths from the flu.
From the flu this year?
Yes, sir.
When they say this year, is that 2020 or like the flu season?
The flu season.
Okay.
So our 2019-2020 flu season.
I think... You probably aren't hearing about it as much because the media is covering. So there's so many other things going on right now, so you're probably not hearing it, which is it's a good or bad thing. You don't want to scare people, but you also want to make sure people are being
aware, conscious about it. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, because a lot of people get the flu and then think once they get it and it's gone, they can't get it again. But that's not the case, right?
Because there are different strains that circulate out there, so...
I didn't realize the numbers were that high for this year. I have a funny feeling that just people get in and they're still going to work because they're afraid to miss work or something.
Yeah.
Or their boss will tell them, I don't care, unless you're on your deathbed, get into work.
Yeah, well.
Which is crazy, too.
I mean, the recommendations are to stay home at least until you have been fever-free for 24 solid hours without taking any fever-reducing medication.
Right.
So that is the, I guess, the minimum. But, you know, none of us wants to be around somebody that's coughing and sneezing all over the place.
Yeah. I see them little kids with the runny noses.
Yeah. So it is important to, to really, educate people on, the fact that this is still contagious and you can still give it to other people. And, of course, it's most dangerous to the populations that are most vulnerable, which is our 65 and over group, our children, and anybody that's got chronic health issues or is immunocompromised.
When we were talking about the fevers with the cold or the flu, and this is why my wife was swearing that I had the flu. Her fever and my daughter's was like 100.7. Mine got up to 102.7. I had the flu, didn't I? Was that doctor wrong?
I kind of think maybe you did. And that's why I asked you the questions that I asked you, because my guess is...
It was just a cough and a fever is all I had.
Yeah, and that's because you had the flu shot. So the flu shot, if you have it, you can... It's not 100%.
Right.
No vaccine is 100%. So you can still get the flu. What it's going to do is generally give you a less severe case and hopefully make it maybe 1 or 2 days shorter for you.
Oh, it was definitely shorter. Because I was late for my wife. She was still in bed.
That's what the flu shot will still do for you, even if you do get it. I mean, it's not 100%.
Okay. Let me rephrase that real quick. When I say running around, I meant running around shopping and everything, okay? Just because Molly gave me that look. It's like, really, Rich? No. I was going out to the store. God.
Building forts, making stuff, doing somersaults.
Yeah.
Somersaults.
Give your wife an apology right now.
I'm sorry. She don't listen. She said, why do I want to listen to your podcast? I hear you at home enough.
So do you go home and you tell her every day everything that you've talked about all day?
Not a shot. That just blows me away. Now I had the flu.
It's a possibility. I mean, and I don't know, I don't really have any numbers on the accuracy of those rapid tests, but I have heard a few other people say that they're pretty sure they had the flu and were treated with Tamiflu, even though the test came back negative rapid and they were also vaccinated. So we're talking about unvaccinated people. It doesn't seem so. I don't know. I wonder about that. If unvaccinated people, maybe the rapid test isn't as effective in detecting. But
I wonder if that was a prescription.
That's just me. I'm not coming from any area of expertise. I have not seen any evidence of that. I've just heard people tell me.
Yeah. Is there any good over-the-counter medication for that?
No, you have to get you have to go to the doctor and you have to get your antiviral medications.
Yeah, he prescribes something.
And there are several on the market.
I didn't. I always look at the side effects, and if it's something.
Well,
you have to weigh
it out, but it will decrease your length of time. Generally, it decreases the severity of your symptoms. It decreases the length of the time that you're ill. It hopefully, and because you're decreasing the length of time you're ill, maybe it will help keep it from spreading quite as quickly to others.
Right.
We don't have any evidence of that again either at this point, that taking the antivirals does if you're not as sick for as long. I did want to talk briefly about emergency warning signs of flu, especially for those people who are at greater risk. So again, we're talking about people 65 years and older, anybody with any chronic medical conditions, especially things like asthma, diabetes, heart disease, pregnant women, and children younger than 5 years old. So they are most at risk. It is most important for them to get their vaccine. There is available a vaccine for the 65 and over, which is a high dose. And it does, so if you are 65 and older, they do recommend that you get that high dose vaccine.
Oh.
If you can't find it, you're better with a vaccine than not.
Right.
Just the regular vaccine, but the high dose is made especially for that age group. And they do recommend that in most cases. Talk to your physician about that. And then the emergency warning signs of anybody that has flu. In adults, if you see somebody that's has difficulty breathing, shortness of breath, persistent pain or pressure in the chest or abdomen, persistent dizziness, confusion, you know, inability to wake them up, obviously seizures, they're not urinating. These are all very important emergency warning signs.
Seizures?
High fevers can sometimes, I think, cause seizures. Yeah. In children, you're looking at fast or trouble breathing again. If they start to turn blue around their lips, around their face, if you see them having labored breathing or they're complaining of chest pain, any severe muscle pain where they refuse to get up and walk. Dehydration is really important. Yeah. If you have an infant, they will be crying, but no tears come out, that sort of thing. If you can't, again, if you can't awake them easily, they're not easily arousable. Fever above 104 in a child, in a small child, and a fever with cough. Or if you see somebody start to get better and their fever is gone, and then all of a sudden, say a day later, it all comes back. Or if that fever is worsening or that cough is getting much worse. But if they start to have symptoms and they start to improve and they're getting better and then all of a sudden they start to have symptoms that come back and return again, that's when it could possibly be going into a lower respiratory or a pneumonia type situation. Ooh. And that needs to be, they need to see someone, a provider.
And you said 104 for children. What about for adults?
I don't know exact temps, a high temperature. And again, if you're drinking and you're easily arousable, that's one thing. If you're, you know, able to take on fluids and so forth. But if you're not able to keep fluids down, anything like that, or you feel like you're getting dehydrated, then of course that's when it's really important. Especially with adults with those high risks, they have a, you know, 65 and over, again, the complications, they have a much greater risk of complications if they have those other health problems that we talked about, diabetes, heart disease. A much greater risk of a heart attack or a stroke or getting pneumococcal diseases. And then 78% higher risk of hospitalizations for people over 65. So those are the ones that really do need to see their provider and probably get some sort of antiviral medications or treatment.
I want to thank the Harford County Health Department again for filling us in on the differences between the flu and the cold, and basically how you can tell the difference. And I also want to thank Laurie Decker again for contacting me and asking me if we could do a podcast with the health department about this. If there's anything you would like us to cover with the health department, contact me, let me know. Or contact the health department and let them know. Either way, we'll make sure we get it on for you. We started a thing on Facebook and Instagram asking people to give us suggestions. And so far, we've gotten a good response, which is great. But for any information, contact the Harford County Health Department at 410-838-1500. Again, that's 410-838-1500. And again, if you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please do so, whether it be on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever platform you listen to it on. Please subscribe. And also, please leave your review or suggestions. I'm always looking for reviews and suggestions. It helps me to basically figure out who I'm going to get on the podcast and what I'm going to talk about. So please, again, leave your reviews, subscribe to the podcast, and let me know. Also, I want to thank some of our supporters that have bought me a coffee. That's right. If you go to buymeacoffee.com/HarcoLiving, you can make a small contribution to help me keep this podcast going. I want to thank Amory Battis, who is a monthly subscriber, as well as Jeremiah Seitz with Omega Techwear. He made a donation, and Mary Bunch. So thank you very much. Again, go to buymeacoffee.com/HarcoLiving.